Welcome to The Honest Report, a weekly podcast analyzing media coverage of the Arab Israeli conflict, anti-Semitism, and radical Islamic terrorism.
Violence escalating between Israel and the Palestinians, hundreds of rockets fired from Gaza toward Israel, people running for cover.
We start the show with the breaking news that has been coming in. Israeli police are saying that at least seven people have been injured in a car ramming and stabbing attack in Tel Aviv.
Hundreds of rockets fired from Gaza towards Israel. People running for cover on this Tel Aviv beach as air defense systems blew rockets out the sky.
Here's your host, Rob Walker.
Arabs represent more than 20% of Israel's total population, and members of Israel's Arab minority have been represented across society, including in politics, the judiciary, business, and the arts. But despite enjoying equal rights under Israeli law, Israeli Arabs today still face lower incomes and higher levels of violence in their community, leading some critics to falsely accuse the Jewish state of discriminating against this Arab population. But the future of Israeli Arabs has never been brighter, thanks in part to people like Dr. Dalia Fadila. Dr. Fadila is the founder of Q Schools, an institution for promoting quality education in the Arab society in Israel. She was previously president of the Engineering and Technology College and vice president of Al-Qassemi Teacher Education College. In 2022, she received the Medal of Honor from Israel's president. Today, Dr. Fadila joins us as a guest to discuss Q Schools and how her efforts are helping to pave the way for a more prosperous future for Israel's Arab population. Welcome to the Honest Report podcast. Dr. Dalia Fadila, welcome to the Honest Report podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Robert.
We are very excited to speak with you. You have a very impressive resume, a CV here in terms of taking on increasing leadership roles in education within the Arab community. And I want to talk to you about really your most recent endeavor over the last few years, an effort called Q Schools. Tell us about what that is.
Q Schools is actually an alternative system of education that starts from daycare age one into growing into a whole system up to age 18 to from K to 12. And Q Schools is a trilingual, which is the first of its kind in the Arab community inside Israel, meaning it works in three circles: mother language as sustaining and strengthening cultural belongings, Arab identity, Hebrew as being part of the state and citizenship and being part of democracy, and third, also English as language of the world.
And so this is a supplementary school, or this is really sort of a morning till afternoon school for children in the place of another educational institution?
No, so Q School has different departments. So first of all, it started as an English language and youth empowerment school, which is an afternoon during supplementary extracurriculum in the afternoons and in the weekend. Soon we developed into a whole day-long curriculum, daycare, preschools, kindergarten, and a growing elementary to high school. In addition, we also established our strategic consultancy center through which we partner with the Ministry of Education in helping schools that are at risk or introducing pedagogical innovation into schools, or helping with teacher training, headmaster's mentorship, and introducing curriculum building to public schools.
Now, how many students are you working with at the present time?
At the present time, in the preschool system from age 1 till age 5, we have approximately 300 kids. In the English language and youth leadership programs and youth empowerment programs, we have annually at least 500 kids. And in terms of the consultancy and mentorship, teacher training, headmasters, and working with public schools, in the last 5 years, we have worked with more than 60 schools, all in the public system, in East Jerusalem, in the Arab community, and in the Jewish community, creating pedagogical, innovative models of education relevant to the community.
Now, geographically, are you right now exclusively in, I know you're in a town in the northern Israel called Tira. Are you exclusively there? Have you expanded beyond? Are there plans to do that at this stage?
We started in Tira, but Tira is not in the north of the country. Tira is in the Triangle area. The Triangle area is the center of the country, and it's 100 Arab Muslim. It's different from the north, where it's a mixed population of Jews, Christians, Druze, and Arabs, and it's different from the south, that is Bedouin and also mixed Jews and Arabs. So the Triangle area is the area at the center of the country, and it's very significant why we started Q School in the center of the country. We always thought that the center of the country lacks opportunities of high quality of education, alternative education, progressive education. And there are little initiatives around what is called the charter schooling, being approved by the ministry, yet being also introducing your own ideology. And the fact is that knowing closely from my experience as one of the leaders in teacher training in the Arab teacher training college Al-Qasimi in the Arab community back when I was there, and then as head of the engineering college and being part of different committees dealing with education and children and youth and women and culture in the Arab community, I have found out that with all the many reforms in education and the many investments in Arab education, still the gap between Arab kids and Jewish kids is only widening. And 40% of Arab kids inside Israel graduate of any high school year are defined, unfortunately, formally as kids or young people at risk. This is why my thinking that any true impactful change should start from kindergarten bottom up into introducing quality education to the community. So we started with Tira, back to your question. Now we are also at the Abu Ghosh and Rafa, which is at the Jerusalem area. We have another growing school there, started from age 3, trilingual education, and it's growing into a school. And with a consultancy, we work with East Jerusalem schools that belong to the Ministry of Education and with other schools in the north and the south of the country that belong to the ministry.
And in terms of, tell us a little bit about, you've identified the need, I think, that's taking place in the Arab community. What angle does Q Schools help to address that?
There are four systems of education, or four sections of different education. There is the Jewish, secular, Jewish religious, and Jewish ultra-Orthodox, and there is the Arab. The Arab system of education belongs to the Israeli system of education, and it's part of it. However, in different from the other three sections of education, it has avoided a definition of a vision of the community, a vision of the graduate of the system, because of all the different sensitivities around identity definition and the role of the community and the relationship of a minority to the majority and all of these issues. As if the only role of the Arab system of education is to focus on the learning and the teaching and help those who can to get to the universities, Israeli universities, Palestinian universities, Jordanian universities, and universities across the world. That for me was, in a kind of a way, good as a factory for Marx. However, it's not good enough as a place to advance the community as a whole. And for all the 20 years I have been around education and teacher training in engineering, in different committees, and promoting different programs with all sections of the community, I found out that despite all of this effort, our community is not yet there. And what is that meaning, that they're taking the responsibility for building its own institutions, advancing women employment, for example, beyond 30% in recent years, advancing employment of men beyond the 60%, in a way, integrating more into Israeli high tech, more into Israeli decision-making arenas, into more into the academia and coming back with all of these equipments to take the community ahead. That for me was kind of a neutral point where you see the numbers of people learning more and more. However, you also see the numbers of those who are not, who are being dropping the system of education, not advancing, feeding the circle of unemployment, crime, unfortunately, that is so common now in the Arab community, and the circle, vicious circle of frustration and widening gaps between Arabs and Jews. Knowing that and being there, I decided with the people around me that it's time not to fix the problems from the upper end, to start fixing them for the long term from preschool and kindergarten. Q School is different because it is directed at investment in kids' minds and personalities, getting them to a place of having high order thinking skills, personal skills, and the ability to succeed everywhere, anywhere in their community, in Israel and the world. And also equipping them with the three languages, their own mother tongue, Hebrew and English, and guaranteeing that you are, in a way, have or growing up a group of leaders who are able to take their community with them ahead, not abandon it because they're frustrated, they can't live back in it, yet taking it ahead with them and at the same time being able to integrate and succeed everywhere. And that is the difference between us and the public system.
Now, Israel, as you well know, has developed a reputation in recent years as being quite a significant hub of technology and research and development. And I know that Q Schools has focused a great deal on STEM as well, and the STEM system. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that field as well.
So we invest so much in what we call from preschool level and above, what we call cognitive empowerment. STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math are only the fields of a practice. They are not the skills. They are not the qualities that a kid should have. So first of all, we are investing so much into pushing our kids into taking risks, to be entrepreneurs, into thinking logically, into planning, into budgeting, standardizing, lobbying, and all of that. That is like a program, leadership program, entrepreneurship program that uses technology and very much invest in math, mathematical thinking, and technological thinking, and taking advantage of all of these opportunities around us is one thing. However, the basic and main thing is investment in the thinking as an entrepreneur, as a leader, as a person who can succeed everywhere, having a critical thinking skills, a problem solution, resolutional skills, logical skills, budgeting skills, planning skills that are very important. And on a personal level, being confident. Not being afraid to make mistakes, being confident that the mistakes that you make are part of the process. Now, along with what we do from age three and above in three languages, Hebrew, English, and Arabic, what we call the Leadership Entrepreneurship Program, integrated into our curriculum, and the many assignments that the kids have to accomplish, like writing their own books, or planning their own projects, or making their own community supermarket, and all of these things. We have also another program that enhances that confidence and enhances that risk-taking and qualities and skills of thinking and lobbying, which is for junior high students in our Model United Nation Club, where we have annually at least 200 kids participating in Model United Nation debating programs and competitions on a national, international level, Recently, in February, we sent 80 kids to participate in one of the biggest Model United Nations conferences for youth in New York. And you can imagine an Arab kid from the minority, from the triangle, from an Arab-speaking community in Israel, seeing himself, herself, part of a large assembly of young people from around the world in the UN, standing, lobbying, presenting, speaking. It's a different change of reality, and these kids bring it back to their community.
So how much of what you're doing has to do with sort of the ABCs and the nuts and bolts of education versus trying to shift the paradigm, so to speak, and trying to erase a lot of these limitations that some of these students may think exist for them?
It's not something that we can separate. The pedagogy, actually, and the ABCs and 1, 2, 3s of what we need to teach or what the kids need to learn are fully integrated in how to change the paradigms. For example, I'll give you an example. For our 4-year-old groups learning about the WH questions, okay, in English. That's like a basic subject, as you said, the ABC, every kid who is studying English or learning to speak English, they have to learn how to ask questions, yes, no questions, WH questions, and all of that. What is the context that we are creating? We're creating a kind of a role play where Amal, a girl, Amal means hopes. It's an Arab name for a girl. She is sitting at a table and her father is preparing the sandwiches in the morning. Her mother is a CEO and she's rushing to a job. She has to be early somehow. And Amal is the one who's asking the father and the father again, using all the questions. Now, the context is all about gender empowerment, gender equality. It's about presence. It's about cooperation. It's about family. And it's a change of paradigm in between the traditional role of an Arab woman, as it is sometimes presented in public books, the Arab women being still as if the image of the 1950s in the farm or in the kitchen, and turning that into the possibility of mommy as a CEO, and the girl has a voice and a say, and the father is there helping, and the whole gender equality situation. So we are not separating lessons for empowerment, social empowerment, cultural empowerment, personal empowerment, and then we have the grammar and the structure and how to ask questions and write questions. We don't do that. We are integrating a lifetime situation with the structure, with the language, with the values, with the role playing, with the activity, and thus we are presenting a whole experience where the kids are going into the classroom, and going, once they are in the classroom, they are actually experiencing a pedagogy that is infused with not only the structure and the language, but also with the values and with the vision of the future.
Well, Dr. Fadila, thank you so much for sharing this, extraordinary story with us, and looking forward to watching your organization, Q Schools, grow and expand in the future. Thank you so much again for your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Robert.
And that's today's edition of the Honest Report podcast. If you haven't done so yet, please subscribe to our mailing list, our podcast channel, and follow us on social media for the most up-to-date news. If you like what you've heard, please consider a donation to support our continued efforts at www.honestreporting.ca/donate. Until next time, thank you so much for listening.